This podcast is meant to provide information on reproductive health. It does not establish a physician-patient relationship, and we would urge you to contact your treating provider regarding your care.
So let's talk about some of how patients can deal with stress. How do you decide if a patient should do cognitive behavioral therapy? And we'll have you describe that in just a second. And which patients need medication treatments? How do you go about deciding what's right for which patients?
Well, it is, it's definitely a collaborative approach. I think it's important to make those decisions together between a patient and their healthcare practitioner. The threshold for, I think, my approach in terms of treating their symptoms, the threshold for looking at medication is how much of an impact their symptoms are having on their daily level of functioning. I mean, if we are addressing symptoms that a patient's experiencing that is keeping them from being able to work, or they're not taking care of themselves, they're not eating properly, they're completely withdrawing. Of course, if they're having thoughts of self-harm, those can be medical emergencies. And I think at that point, we do need to have a discussion about medication intervention. But many patients may have a little bit milder symptoms, and they may decide that they want to take the psychotherapy approach to their treatment, and may want to avoid medications or antidepressants for different reasons. So I think it's that decision between medication and therapy is really dependent on the severity of their symptoms. Of course, studies have shown that a combination of medication and psychotherapy, particularly CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, is actually more effective than either one of them alone. So a combination treatment approach is actually very ideal.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about cognitive behavioral therapy? Like, what should they expect?
So cognitive behavioral therapy is a therapy that is focused on addressing cognitive distortions. So this is irrational beliefs or perceptions, oftentimes rigid, self-negative thought patterns or processes, self-critical, and balancing those with more realistic perspectives. So I think the best way to kind of describe CBT is learning how to change how you feel by changing how you think about something. So again, it's about reframing how you think through those cognitive distortions with more realistic thought processes. This can be very effective. It can be short-term. It typically is not long-term treatment. It's a very active approach to therapy, and again, very, very effective. And patients work one-on-one with a therapist who specializes in CBT. It can involve workbooks. It can involve some homework assignments. Again, so it's a very active, dynamic approach to therapy.
You brought up something very important in terms of setting realistic expectations for you as a patient and coming to those thoughts and realistic thoughts and how that improves or how that affects your feelings. It's what I call cautiously optimistic. I tell patients we want to be hopeful and optimistic, but at the same time, understand truly what the pros and cons are, what our realistic expectations are for each treatment process. And having that understanding and that thoughtful process really helps with the feeling. So, for example, when I tell patient, this embryo looks really good, I think this embryo has an 80% pregnancy success rate, versus I tell another patient, this embryo tested great on the PGTA testing, but the grading is just fair quality, and this embryo has about a 10% pregnancy success rate. It's setting those realistic expectations. And so the person who I just told 10%, they understand that thought process of going into this and saying, okay, 10% chance, that means 90% chance it may not work. But, and it's really figuring out how to understand your thought process. Okay, there's a 90% chance it doesn't work, But I'm going to be grateful I tried with this embryo before I decided on the next step, assuming the next step may be donor egg. And figuring out how to put those thoughts together in terms of realistic expectations. Because if they're not in that 10% that gets pregnant, there's grief, there's depression, there's sadness. And it's how to set yourself up to have the feelings and understand those things. And just like you said, the grief, it lasts for 6 months or maybe less, but you understand what the grief is and then you move on. But that chronic depressive state is where we're concerned about that person and their mental health. And so this is so important that people understand how cognitive behavioral therapy can be very beneficial in terms of getting them through the fertility treatment process.
Absolutely. I completely agree. You know, studies have determined that women who actually receive additional support in terms of psychotherapy during their fertility journey are actually 2 times more likely to get pregnant. And couples who participate in couples therapy during their journey are more likely to get pregnant too, as well, to have positive results. So I think it is very important. And CBT is, of course, one type of therapy, psychodynamic therapy. There are other types. Another popular one is ACT, or acceptance commitment therapy. This involves it's kind of like improving your psychological flexibility to handle stressful situations. So it incorporates a little bit of CBT along with mindfulness and being grounded, being in the moment. It's actually accepting your emotions, having some cognitive diffusion where you can actually visualize those negative thoughts or cognitive distortions from floating away from you. So this is a very active type of therapy as well. It's, like I said, being present, being mindful, and seeing self as context. And what I mean by that is rather than stating I am a failure, it's saying I see myself a failure, and then addressing how you see yourself. So again, self as context, choosing personal values, what's important to you, what brings you joy, and then you and your therapist make concrete steps to make some changes. So again, that's another very active type of therapy. So you have CBT, you have ACT, acceptance and commitment therapy. Another very popular one and can be very helpful for patients undergoing some grief and loss is EMDR. This is eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. It's a specific type of therapy that is very effective for trauma treatment. It involves pulling up distressing moments and disturbing memories and processing those side by side a visual stimulus, which then changes the way that memory is consolidated in the brain. So it actually becomes less emotionally charged. This is a very short-term type of treatment. It has been shown to be very effective. I believe that there are like 8 stages that you go through in the treatment. Again, very active with the therapist. There's, of course, mindfulness. We had talked about that earlier. That is about being very in the moment and understanding your emotions in the moment. It involves meditation, being grounded. It's not about avoiding emotions. It's about acknowledging them, accepting them, and allowing yourself to experience those and to find a place of peace and calm with those. There's other types of therapy, biofeedback, which involves monitoring your vitals while you're doing therapy. So you're looking at your heart rate, your blood pressure, your breathing rate, your oxygen saturation, and feeling a greater sense of control of those processes and how your thought process can change some of those parameters. And then there's, of course, neurofeedback, which is biofeedback, but also including EEG to look at brainwave patterns during treatment. So, I mean, there's, of course, many different types of therapy that can be incorporated, and all of them very effective for many people.
Which one do you typically start off with?
I believe CBT is more commonly used, and patients are generally more amenable to that because it is a very active type of therapy. Many patients like the idea of having something very tangible that they can work with, like a workbook, or having some homework assignments that they can work on. EMDR is very effective, but it can also be a bit of a painful process in the very beginning. So it does involve the patient getting to a place where they feel very safe in working with that therapist to be able to even pull up some of those distressing memories. So CBT tends to be the more commonly used, and of course it is very effective, and patients are very welcome to it.
Well, thank you all for joining us on today's show. And thank you, Dr. Raju, for being our guest. Remember to take care of your mental health every day. And just like Dr. Raju said, positive reaffirmations every day can really get you through what you're going through. If you want to listen to all things infertility, you don't want to miss the next episode. Please like, follow, and subscribe.
Pioneer.